So, Tommy,
35 years of lifting. That's
wear and tear, man.
How you feeling?
Well, yeah, I feel pretty good, but just you know, the joint sometimes, you know, you just, it takes me like a long time to warm up. I have to warm up to warm up.
No, I get it.
I mean, you know, because we live up here in the Northeast. You know, if you look at Connecticut, you go across, it's even higher than Chicago. So we're on a high parallel up here. You know, we're you know.
And how did we do when we were young? What did we do? We got in the gym and we put 315 on, and we didn't even warm up to bench.
Let me tell you something. I, 18, 19 years old, walk into the gym, pair of boots, and a flannel shirt. Just walk into the gym, put three plates on it.
You were strong.
And do 10 reps. I mean, but what I'm saying is...
Wait a minute. Let's not start exaggerating. Did you do 315 for 10?
Yes.
You did, huh?
Yes.
That was my all-time max, 315.
Oh, well, you know, whatever it was, but I'm
You know
I'm
what you used to say about me? You used to say, Jack, your arms are too long. You're pushing it up to the second floor. But you were like the thick guy. I was always into being ripped.
Yeah, but you had that nice waist of lat taper. You know, you had that physique in terms of, you know, that fit in with you know, you were much closer in striking distance if you could be a bodybuilder.
But I was not, because I was too thin. But what about the guys, like, who started years ago? Were they on the juice even then? Like Steve Reeves and all those guys.
Well, those guys were like the real founders. You go back to the 50s, the old muscle beach days in Santa Monica, California.
They were all on the juice, though.
You know, but the juice and the steroids that they had back then were like minuscule in relation to what obviously we had in the 80s, and obviously I don't even have to say anything about today.
Right.
But what I'm saying is what they still had, though... Well, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's still better than your best supplements we have today in 2018 or whatever.
Right. You or I never tried anything.
No, I never tried anything. I was even afraid of high doses of creatine. And
did you try creatine?
I tried it in 1996. I think it came out around, probably just 2 years prior to that or 3 years prior to that.
What do you think? Did it help you?
Yeah, it helped me, but I remember I was running at the time. I wasn't doing long jogging. I was just doing some 40-yard sprints because I just kind of wanted to keep that in my repertoire of training for some reason. I used to play football when I was young, and I think those sprints used to just get me, you know, they used to really bring something out of me.
How old are you now?
I'm actually 50, turning on the cusp of 52. But at the same time, those sprints used to help me out. But I remember I pulled a few muscles with that creatine, and I used to do the same
regimen. And you had to drink a lot of water because you used to have
cramps. I know, but I used to do the same thing without it, and I never pulled muscles. So I pulled a few muscles, one hamstring muscle, and I think it was, not sure if it was a pec muscle or a bicep, but I can't remember. But anyways, I definitely remember pulling the hamstring muscle. So I didn't like the creatine from that standpoint, but it did bring a little bit of a fuller look.
And you never really dieted, right?
No, not at that time, no.
I mean, because you were just a bull, like a Greek Adonis. You had the big arms, the big, thick head of black, curly hair. I was always tall and thin, but I was shredded. But for what reason?
Yeah.
My brother was like 60 pounds heavier, and he would say, "Why are you eating tuna fish?" He'd say, "For what?"
Yeah.
So my brother would tell me to put a window shade around my neck so I could show everyone my ass.
Eat some real food, buddy. You know what I'm saying?
He used to get mad at me. But now let's talk about the evolution of lifting. I mean, we started working out. We were young and dumb. We went into the local gyms. You were at Zach's gym.
Yeah, Zach's gym over on Zion Street in Hartford.
You went to the original Zach's.
The original Zach's.
And then I started the Powerhouse gym in Connecticut in New Britain.
Yes, yes.
And boy, those were the early days for us. I mean, that was the early 80s.
That's when maybe, you know, everybody thought, you got to come in and approach it like a warrior standpoint.
There you go, man.
Take care.
Be safe.
You bet. You approach training from a warrior standpoint. You know, you had those bodybuilders like at the time. I mean, you used to see how hard they used to train. And
military presses.
Oh, military presses. I mean, just everything. I mean, hard training. And I mean, extra. But those days, maybe more was better. Whereas today, maybe less is more. Even if you're at that level, competing big time, Olympia, under that, any NPC shows, any
so you're saying
AAU shows, whatever the case was back then. But I'm saying
the evolution of the training is train smarter, not to kill yourself, especially now that we're old.
Correct. Sometimes
older.
Sometimes less is more. It's like a pitcher. He's throwing 95, 98
pitch counts. As soon as they hit a certain
not even that. But the guy's waiting for the fastball, so take a little off it. So come in at 80 something and throw some. Sometimes less is more. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Yes. But it's tied in with just smarter training in general.
Okay, so when you were in the gym and you saw the first guys coming in and you started seeing 500-pound bench presses, did you know something was up, that there was like a new type of, like a more of an acceptance of people using like the drugs?
I just remember in the 80s, it was just like, wow, what a fad. I was talking about a popular thing. That was just a...
The big bulky balloon pants, the parachute pants.
I mean, the whole thing, that whole decade, I mean, was that even real? I mean, I mean, seriously, I mean, what an era. I mean, was it real, Jack?
But
I
do
mean,
you still see I mean, it? It was
I,
real.
I mean, I did, listen, I laughed and learned. What an era. I
but
mean, you know.
Let me ask you this. Do you still see the guys once in a while wearing the parachute pants and the big muscle shirts and they're 65 years old? You still see that?
I don't see much of that.
I see it once in a while.
You do, because you're in the gym a lot more than I am now.
Well, I've owned the gym 37 years, and I got to tell you, we still, like, when all the big gyms came, you know, the big names, LA Fitness, we had a chance to either sell out or have a niche gym, and we stayed.
Right.
And it's funny the way that draw to the 80s still is there.
So, but these guys are obviously, they're obviously on the cusp of 60 or over at the time.
But
right?
The young kids think it's like it's an anomaly. They say, "What is this place?"
Like sore thumbs, you know. What
yeah,
I'm
but they the kids come in and they say, "I want to be a part of this." This is, you know, they feel like they're cool. They feel like they're like. They're hip being in the gym that was like the 80s. They don't all want to go to the big fancy gyms. That's why we survive. And guys like you walk in there and you're the legends because you helped start it.
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, we put our time in, that's for sure.
Now, is your brother John the twin?
I have a twin, John, yeah.
And he was the more shredded, ripped guy.
Yeah, John was ripped to shreds and I, you know, ripped and I was a little bit more bulked. But, you know, we were good gym people. We worked out for years. A lot of us knew us. We had good relationships with the people. We were, you know,
was John a fanatic?
Real good gym guys. You know, I started training before John, actually. But John took it to a different level when he was younger. And he was fanatic. He was really...
Didn't he get a stomach problem by no fats at all?
Really staunch advocate when it came to dieting. Upheld his diets to different levels. I'm talking different
overdid
levels.
It.
Yeah, overdid it.
Because then the conventional wisdom then was you can't eat any fat.
Exactly.
Then it was just protein and, you know, zero fat. Then we find out later...
Is pretty good for you, good fat. You know,
Of course. Yeah, and with the Atkins diet, even though you've never done the Atkins.
Oh, no, I've done it. I've experienced with the Atkins diet quite a few times, yeah.
And you just... It's just not... It's not sustainable.
I'm pretty strong. I'm a strong dieter myself. I can diet with the best of them, but I used to be able to diet with the best of them. Because I mean, you can even concur with your partner there with the gym.
Business partner Paul Carson.
And he
was a tough guy.
Yeah, but now
he still is.
It still is, but he can. He'll attest to the fact that I got down to like 2-3% a couple times.
That was unhealthy.
Very unhealthy, but I was able to. I was able to do it. I was able to take that body fat off. So
you did that mainly in the summer because you wanted to look good on the beach, didn't you?
I just did it for myself. Yeah, I just wanted to look. I mean, I wasn't going to any shows at the time. So But talk about. I mean, it's real work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do I recommend it? I'm not so sure. You know.
Well, listen. This is just, you know, scratching the surface about the myriad of different of topics we're gonna hit.
And I'm sure you folks can actually pick us off and beat us to the punchline and with many instances that we'll,
yeah,
and
so many
different
there.
Issues we'll be talking about pertaining to training, the ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and you know, some of the challenges that we were faced with. And even, you know, as many years as we've all been coming to the gym, you know, you think this stuff gets easier, but you know, sometimes we all go through our stuff. We got life to attend to. We have things going on
but
in our life.
But you have to still do it, because if you don't do it, what happens?
Well, you fall back twice because we all know how beneficial it is to our mental health, and it's also very important physically for our health in general to uphold and keep consistent with working out. So there's obviously many pluses.
How beneficial is it? And to end it here for the first, you know, podcast we've ever done. But how beneficial is it for your mental health?
Number, it's just incredibly important.
It's a medicine.
Oh, I mean, talk about clearing out your head or anything. It's number one thing. I mean,
but when you're sitting at home, you are positive you can't do it. You say, no, not today. But if you get through the doors and you get in the gym, what happens? You start flourishing in that gym. Your brain changes.
Yeah, everything changes, and everything's just flowing so much easier, and you actually feel like a million bucks when you're done, and it's like you walk out of there, and it's like, hey, man, folks, advantage me. I did this today, and you really feel it, and then you can apply some of that good energy into your daily life. And apply it elsewhere. But
how easy is it to get down if you don't go in that gym?
You can go the other way with it too if you don't get there. But like I said, it's very difficult for many of us to get there at times. As many years as we've been doing this, and how consistent as we've been in terms of getting to the gym for numerous years, still looms large in terms of being a challenge.
You know, I'm going to have to end here, and I just would like to say that Tom is a wealth of knowledge in lifting and working out. And even though I've owned the gym for 37 years, I usually rely on hiring the experts. My knowledge is through some different certifications and training, but of course, experience, 37 years. But the guys with the real scientific knowledge, they're out there, and we're going to have them on this show because we know a lot of them, don't we?
Absolutely. And like I said, folks, trial and error. I mean, we've been just hammering away with this stuff, plugging away, trying to work out, trying to amass workouts, put together goals.
What's the heaviest you got to? What's the heaviest? Were you 220?
But we learned through our trials and errors. Yeah, I got to 220, 225 at one time, but I mean, you know,
that's natural.
A little bit more top heavy, a little bit more top heavy, you know?
Yeah, get on those legs. You know why? Because I heard about your lawsuit.
Yeah.
Suing your legs for lack of support. All right, Tom, let's sign off now, and we'll get together very soon. Thank you.